Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Quick little solo podcast looking forward to the games this weekend, some bowl games, some NFL, a little recap of what we saw on Thursday for the Christmas games. And my goodness, boy, you got to really like football to sit there and watch what we watched for 10 hours. The games were not good, to say the least, and I will get to my thoughts on Netflix and their presentation of the games, but all three underdogs end up covering, similar to Thanksgiving, where, you know, the holidays for years, Thanksgiving primarily and also Christmas, favorites did really well for whatever reason. And like all things with when it comes to trends, all things eventually end like that. And all four dogs that Thanksgiving and Black Friday covered and won, and then all three dogs cover today. Now, Washington and Dallas, that one depended on where you got the number, because that opened like 5, 5.5, it closed at 9, 9.5, and it landed right in the middle on 7. So that's one where getting the best of the number, you know, you cash no matter where, no matter who, which side you were on. But Minnesota, Detroit, that game was ugly. Kansas City, Denver was not much prettier. Just no offense in any of these games. The quarterback play was atrocious. Especially the last two games, just like pulling teeth trying to get first downs. But Denver gets a win. Minnesota knocks out Detroit. Detroit now in last place heading into the final week of the season. I mean, what kind of odds could you have gotten on not only Detroit, Baltimore, and Kansas City missing the playoffs, which looks like it's going to happen with the Lions and Chiefs already eliminated, and the Ravens a loss away from being eliminated. But the Lions in last place, just that kind of year in the NFL. But to me, the story of the day, and not to pick on them, but what a disaster, what an epic disaster these Netflix games were. My goodness, we just want to watch football. We just want to watch the games. Let the games breathe. And I felt bad for Ryan Eagle, who was doing the game. I mean, he's directing traffic. He's, you know, they've got former players on. It's Emmett Smith. It's Clinton Portis. They're promoting Stranger Things. It's just so overproduced, and I know, you know what, they're going to use their platform to promote their own stuff, but it's just so in your face and over the top. They got 9 million people on the pregame, you know, a bunch of sideline reporters. They got Kay Adams and Michael Irvin, you know, eating steaks with the Cowboys after the game. Oh my God, it didn't stop. And we don't need to hear from these players in the middle of the game. We don't need the entire third quarter with Clinton Portis. If you want to have him on for a minute or two, you know, ask two or three questions, say Merry Christmas and get it over with. But these 15, it's not a podcast. To sit there and talk to him for 15 minutes is ridiculous. And Burleson never shuts up. He's never quiet for more than 10 seconds. You know, he's oohing and on in the middle of the play. It's a passing play. And, you know, he's talking over Ryan Eagle saying, oh, he's open. Throw it to him. Just shut up for 2 seconds. It was so tough to watch. The early game, the later game, and it was a relief to have the game on Amazon Prime, which usually not my favorite telecast, but it's very hard to have a broadcast with somebody as great as Ian Eagle, and Noah Eagle's very good too, and have the broadcast be that bad, that annoying. But boy, that was a rough, rough 6+ hours just with that whole production. Let the game breathe. Wow, that was just so over the top. They have so many people. They got the wrestling guy. They got Manti Te'o. They're all wearing white. It's way too much. It's way too much, and they shoehorn in all 100 people they have. I know, you know, they spend all this money and they acquire all this talent. Less is more. We just want to watch the games. Have a couple people on the pregame, a couple people on the broadcast. Just do a good broadcast and keep it simple. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. It was so tough to watch. Netflix was. I remember it being bad last year. I don't remember being this bad. This was really, really tough to watch. And it didn't help that the games weren't very good and very impactful. Although the night game was close, but man, that was really, really brutal from Netflix. Burleson was awful. Just the whole production, interviewing the players, you just go down the list. And it was just one thing after another. People just want to watch the games. But Minnesota beats Detroit, like I said. That's just one where Brosmer throws for 40-something yards, gets sacked 7 times. Almost impossible to win a game like that, but they found a way, and it felt like Minnesota, man. I've said this since before the season, since last year. If they could just get B minus C plus play from their quarterback, the rest of that roster is really good, and they'd be a good team. Well, they wasted the rest of the roster because they're not going to make the playoffs, even though they finished now 8-8, have a chance to go 9-8, and that game might be against Green Bay next week, might not mean anything. So you might go 9-8, and maybe you take a little solace in the fact that you finished over 500, but what a waste of a roster, because they've got Addison, they've got, you know, Jefferson, Hockenson, and Aaron Jones, and a good defense. It just had basically, outside of maybe the Jets, maybe the worst quarterback play in the entire league. And today was an example of, wow, you just, between them wasting that defense and their skill guys and the Cowboys wasting that offense, if you could combine that Viking defense with the Cowboy offense, you would have one hell of a team. But you're going to hear this a lot the next day or two, that Detroit, their window is closed. You know, 2 years ago, they're up 17 in the second half of the NFC title game. Last year, they were 15-2 in the one seed, and they just completely fell apart in the playoffs, had a bunch of injuries. I could see where people say, hey, they had their shot, it's over, and it's very hard to win. I mean, anyone's chance of winning is unlikely. Everyone's an underdog to win the whole thing. But I wouldn't be shocked if they bounced back and won 11, 12 games. I mean, you still have Gibbs is young and really good. I know running backs don't last forever, but he's still good and young. St. Brown and Jameson Williams, and you know, Goff's okay. He's not perfect, and he was awful today. But you shore up the offensive line, you get a decent pick. They're going to have, it looks like, a fourth-place schedule, last-place schedule. I wouldn't be shocked if they bounce back. So I think writing their obituary a little early, I think that's a little premature. I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit rebounds and has a good season. So you're going to hear a lot of that the next day or two. As far as the night game, it's very hard to be impressed with Denver. I know they keep continuing to win these games, and it's not pretty. And if you're a Denver fan, you just say, who cares? We find ways to win. That stuff usually has a way of catching up to you. The problem is, who's going to beat them in the AFC? I mean, any of these teams could beat them. It's just, you're not impressed with anyone. The Chargers have offensive line issues. The Patriots, their schedule's been a joke. The Jags, you don't really trust. Texans don't really have an offense. You just go through these teams. You could poke. Buffalo doesn't have a good defense or a good team other than Allen and Cook, who's a good player. You could poke holes in all these teams. In Denver, pretty good defense, a quarterback who is super up and down, average, I'd say, at best. But you've got a good home field. You've got a coach that's won a Super Bowl. If they win the division, which if the Chargers lose to Houston or lose to Denver next week, the Broncos are going to win that division. And winning games there is not going to be tough. So can't be overly impressed with Denver. That was pulling teeth with them today, but they pull out the win and they just continue to do what they do. I mean, look at their some of these victories they've had. They beat the Jets by a couple points. They needed to rally at home to beat the Giants. They struggled with the Chiefs. And I thought this would be a tougher game. I thought the Chiefs would show you something after that dismal, dismal performance a week ago against the Titans. I thought the Chiefs would be up for the game. The defense played pretty good. You know, they ran the ball. They just did everything you need to do as an underdog to kind of muck up the game and keep it close. But Denver wins. It's just hard to feel good about any of these teams in the AFC. I can't remember a conference that was this wide open. I could see the Chargers making a run because they've got a coach, a quarterback, and a defense. But that offensive line's a mess. The Texans have a defense. The Broncos, like I said, Super Bowl coach. And, you know, a good home field and a defense that has not been great lately, but they still got a pretty good defense. Patriots, you know, Vrabel's a pretty good coach, and you got May, who looks like he's a budding superstar quarterback. So you could make cases for all of these teams, but you can certainly poke holes in all these teams. I can't remember a more watered down, more mediocre conference where it feels very likely the Super Bowl winner is coming from the NFC, which is something we talked about for a while on this show. Just a very strange, very parody-ridden conference is the AFC, and I thought that was on display here on Thursday night with the Broncos and their ugly win. As far as this weekend, you get some bowl games on Friday here. You get three of them, so these should be fun. At least you have something to watch here. Wednesday, Christmas Eve, was just a very slow sports day where you had the one game, the Hawaii Bowl, and then it ended up being a good game. Hawaii wins at the end, down 21-0. Backup quarterback throws a touchdown. That was a fun game, and that one got home. But Friday, 1 o'clock, Central Michigan against Northwestern. I actually have a play on this game. I like Central Michigan. They're getting 10.5. Northwestern, 6 of their 12 games, they scored less than 20 points. And Central Michigan profiles well as a dog because they can run the ball. They've averaged 166 yards rushing. So if you have one team that doesn't score a lot, you have another team that can run the ball, and a low total of 42.5, 10.5 is a lot of points. Plus, one team's from the Big Ten, the other team's from the MAC. You figure the team that's from the MAC is a little more motivated, where who knows how much Northwestern is into the, the Game Above Sports Bowl, whatever the Game Above Sports Bowl is. So Central Michigan plus 10.5 is a play. That is Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern. Then you have Northwestern in New Mexico. That's Friday, 4:30 Eastern. Minnesota laying a point there against New Mexico. I don't have a play there. and UTSA against FIU. That one should be fun. And you look at the total, 60.5. That is the First Responder Bowl. I like FIU. I don't think UTSA is very good on defense at all. I think that's a back-and-forth game, last team with the ball kind of game. And I could see FIU, if they're down 10 late, you know, getting a touchdown to backdoor and make it a three-point game, that kind of thing. So I like FIU plus the 5.5. I like Central Michigan plus the 10.5. I feel like you can't go too wrong taking the dogs in some of these bowls. Saturday, you get Pittsburgh and East Carolina. Clemson against Penn State, which a lot of people before the game, if you would have said Clemson, Penn State, a postseason game, you'd say, yeah. National title game, national semis. No, it's the Pinstripe Bowl, Saturday, December 27th in Yankee Stadium. Also on Saturday, Miami, Ohio versus Fresno. No interest there. North Texas, San Diego State, no interest there. BYU laying 4 to Georgia Tech. I like Georgia Tech. I'm not sure BYU, where their head's going to be at. They had a chance. They're one win away from playing in a college football playoff. If they beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 title game, they lose that. Are they going to be into the Pop-Tarts Bowl? I'm not sure. And Georgia Tech, they are good as a dog. Brent Key, the coach, 17-6 in his career as an underdog. And they profile well as a dog. They run the ball. They run a lot of option. They just keep the game close. Their defense was bad at times, but played a really good game against Georgia the final game of the season. I think they'll be well-coached and well-prepped for this game. So Georgia Tech plus 4 is a play. FIU plus 5.5 is a play. And Central Michigan plus 10.5 are plays. You know, Virginia, Missouri on Saturday. I don't have much there. LSU against Houston. Houston laying 2.5. Don't have anything there. And then that takes you into Sunday. No bowl games on Sunday going against the NFL. And then Monday, you do get App State against Georgia Southern. Coastal Carolina, Louisiana Tech is on Tuesday. Boy, some of these bowl games, man. They've certainly taken a hit. When you've got all these playoff games now that eat up some of the better bowl, you know, better teams, you lose out on the bowls. And you're certainly seeing it between guys opting out, guys going to the portal, and just the playoff. These bowls have really, really taken a hit. But they're on TV. You can watch them. You can bet them. So I know people are into them. So got a few plays in those games. As far as the NFL, and this will just be a quick pod, kind of in and out. Two games on Saturday, and two pretty good ones. Chargers, Texans, division implications for the Chargers. Texans clinch a playoff spot with a win. Chargers laying 1.5, total 39.5. It's so hard to go under these low totals in the NFL now, but it does feel like that could be a game where points are really hard to get because the Chargers, their real weakness is their offensive line. The Texans' defensive front is nasty. Can the Chargers block them? And that could just be like a 20-17 type of game. I think the Texans are a very good teaser piece. I would lean towards the Chargers winning the game. You know, they're home, playoff revenge from last year. That matchup, though, of their offensive line versus the Texans' defensive line is enough to keep me off of it, though. So if you can find the Texans, if you can find something to tease with the Texans, and there's stuff to tease with them if you want. If you trust the Bengals to tease them down, if you trust, you know, teasing the Saints up to 8.5 against the Saints at home, the Raiders up to 7.5 at home, the Eagles up to 7.5 on the road. There's actually a bunch of good teaser legs. The Rams on Monday night, if you trust them, you know, choose your fighter. But the Texans, I think, are a good teaser leg. I would lean towards the under in Chargers Texans, and actually first quarter under 7.5. I could see that one being 7-0 after the first quarter, 3-3, something like that. So getting a touchdown and another score, but the way that game matches up is it would be under or nothing despite the fact it is a super low total. Packers Ravens on Saturday night. Packers are in the playoffs. The Ravens are eliminated if they lose. So the Ravens need to run the table and have Pittsburgh lose both, but they do play Pittsburgh next week. Packers still trying to win the division. I guess this line is telling you Love is probably going to play, although if he's announced in, this probably shoots up to like 5.5 or 6 because it doesn't look like Lamar Jackson is going to play. Lamar is doubtful. It just doesn't feel like the Ravens' year. I think the Packers win the game. I want to make sure Love plays, though. I would say this. If Love plays, I would take the Packers minus 4.5. If Malik Willis plays, and Willis is dealing with a shoulder too. Love is dealing with a concussion. Willis is dealing with a shoulder injury. If Willis plays, I like the under because Willis and Huntley, both those guys are really just kind of move the chains players, almost like service academy. That clock will be running nonstop. You won't get a lot of big plays. You'll get a lot of quarterback runs, a lot of handoffs, almost like both teams playing the option. If it's Willis, I like under 40.5, even if it drops a little with Willis. And if it's Love, I think the Packers finish off the Ravens. It just doesn't feel like the Ravens season. There's talk that, you know, it could be wholesale changes. I wouldn't be shocked if Harbaugh's gone. I can't see them moving on from Lamar, but from the sounds of it, it sounds like everything is on the table. And Lamar, look, as good as he is, always hurt, was banged up all year, constantly missing practice. It seems like Lamar, just from that standpoint, is a lot to deal with. Plus, you know, he's a two-time MVP. Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback? I guess he'll probably have a shot. But a lot of his strength is his speed. And running backs, as we know, don't age very well. And Lamar is getting to the point of his career. Rookie in 2018, heading into what, year 8 or 9 or thereabouts, which is hard to believe. He's going to start to lose a step. And when he loses a step, can he maintain that ability as a passer when he doesn't have the running ability? So Lamar's tricky from that standpoint, but I think the Packers take care of business, but I want to see who's playing quarterback first on that one. So those are two good Saturday games. The Sunday slate is not great, capped off by the fact that you only have two late games Sunday afternoon, Eagles and Bills, Sunday at 4:25 Eastern, and then the Giants and the Raiders, which is actually kind of entertaining just because not too many times do you get a straight up one-on-one, head-to-head for the number one pick in the draft, but more than likely, that's what this is going to be. Bauer sitting out for the Raiders. Who knows who the Giants are going to play? Dart has played terribly since Dable has been fired. He hasn't been running as much. I don't think they would draft a quarterback. I don't think they would think about it, but if you got the number one pick, if you're the Giants, would you kick the tires on it? Probably not, just because, you know what, he hasn't had neighbors. He hasn't had Scadabo. You probably think, you know what, let me find a coach and get his players back, and we'll keep Dart, but if nothing else, you want to auction that pick off if you get the number one pick. But I like under 41.5. The Raiders, lowest scoring team in the league, dead last in terms of points per game. Giants, not much better than 23rd in points per game. Dart's been bad. No Bowers. I could see this being a 20-17 type of game, too. So I like the under 41.5. But the other games, you're just not playing for that much. It's very rare this time of the year with 2 weeks to go that there's not a bunch up for grabs. When you have, you know, Cardinals, Bengals doesn't mean anything. Bucks, Dolphins, the Bucks need the game. They could be eliminated if they lost, but more than likely that game doesn't mean a lot. Looking at some of these other games, Colts, Jags, okay. Colts hanging on by a thread, Jags, you know, seeding implications, Steelers, Browns, maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. Seahawks, Panthers, maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. I guess it would for Seattle in terms of the race, but I mean, you get the idea. There's not the drama of, hey, they got to win to get in. I mean, that's what people want the last week or two. Most people don't really get wrapped up in, oh, I got to watch this game, because if they win, they're the 2 seed, and if they lose, they're the 5. I mean, I know it matters, and if you have bets on the games or if you have bets on the divisions, things like that, it matters, but as far as, you know, just the drama aspect of it, it's really not there when you pretty much know the playoff teams. And I guess, you know, we still don't know who the NFC South winner is going to be, if that means something to you. You know, we don't know who's going to win the NFC West. Like I said, we don't know division winners, but we pretty much know the teams, or at least we know 7 of the 8 teams in the NFC. And it's just that battle for the final spot between the Bucs and the Panthers. And barring some miracle from the Colts, which I don't think you're going to get, we pretty much know the 7 teams in the AFC outside of the same scenario where we don't know if the Steelers or Ravens will get in. We think it's going to be the Steelers, but it's pretty much we know who's in, and it's just a matter of who plays who matches up with who. Plus, I think the fact that there's no more 2 seed getting the bye takes away some of the drama, because that was a very valuable little carrot. The fact that, hey, we can't be the one, but that 2 seed, we get a not only our home game, but we get a bye as the 2 seed. I like that. I like the fact that you get extra playoff games. Those are fun. But I think the 2 meaning something was something that really made the last couple weeks interesting, the last week interesting, because that was its own little prize in and of itself that was, you know, very valuable, very fun to follow. I remember the last week, I think it was the last year of it, 2019, the Patriots lost a terrible game to Miami. It's like 17-point favorites. And they blew the bye. They were going to get a bye if they won that game. They had to play in wild card weekend, and they lost to, they lost to Tennessee. So having that second bye was something that I think added a lot of drama that you don't have anymore. So not a lot of juice heading into the final 2 weeks. Usually this is a great weekend or two, watching all these different scenarios, who's in, who's out, you know, finding out the playoff matchups. There's just not that much buzz, that much excitement, just because so much is settled. But gave out a bunch of plays in the in college football, like mentioned, just go over them one more time. Central Michigan plus 10.5, FIU plus 5.5, and Georgia Tech plus 4. Georgia Tech is on Saturday. Then in the NFL, I'll go Chargers, Texans. I'll go under 7.5 in the first quarter. I think that's a really slow start. I'll leave Packers Ravens alone just because I don't know the quarterback situation. Mentioned on Wednesday show, I do like the Browns plus the three because I think that game for Pittsburgh probably doesn't mean anything. And either way, I think Cleveland will come to play in that one. And I like under 41.5 Giants Raiders just because no Bowers. Dart's been bad. Both teams have had trouble scoring. The Monday night game, Rams Falcons, we can talk about that on Monday. But even that, you know, not playing for a ton there. Bears 49ers is interesting on Sunday night. That's a decent game. At some point, you figure the Bears' luck runs out. But you know what? Do you really want to lay points with how fortunate that team has been and how they find ways to win and how they find ways to cover? Laying points against them, especially with a 49er defense that is all banged up. Ben Johnson probably, you know, find some ways to exploit that 49er defense. So no play for me there. Bills-Eagles should be interesting. Eagles not playing for much. Bills outside shot at the division, though they're not playing for much. So, you know, you get the idea. A lot of this stuff has already been decided in the NFL, but wanted to get a quick little pot out there, get some picks out there. Again, terrible job by Netflix. Man, take the plan and crumple it up and throw it out the window and just start over. I know they got plenty of money and there's reasons for everything. I get it, but wow. I mean, the reaction, too, I'm not alone. I know just from texting people, just being online, that was just a universally disliked product they put forward on Thursday with the Christmas game. It's just a total disaster from Netflix. But enjoy the games. A lot of football on Friday all weekend with the Bulls. We'll be back Monday. So rate, review, subscribe. Merry Christmas to everyone. See you Monday.